chapter 5, Ephesians chapter 5. We're going to read a few verses there in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 11 through 16. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 11 through 16. Let's stand for the reading of the Word of God, Ephesians chapter 5, 11 through 16. We will read responsively. You read and then I read. And verse 16 this morning is our text verse, Ephesians chapter 5, 11 through 16. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, Awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Our Heavenly Father, we do love you. Thank you for the reading of the Word of God. We thank you for this time, Lord. I pray, God, that you bless the service today. I ask you to bless this special here in just a moment. May everything said or done, Holy Spirit, you do your perfect work. You do your holy work. Do exactly what you want done on hearts this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Ms. Deb. For that special. I love good music. Speaks to the heart. I'm going to read one more scripture, and you can turn to it if you'd like, or jot it down. Colossians chapter 4, verse 5. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. This morning, I'm going to speak to you on the subject, how to redeem the time. This was not originally the message I had prepared. I had everything all prepared for going a different direction this morning and so forth. And I'm going to see how this one works. If this one does not seem to be working, I'll just go back to my office and get the other one out. And so we'll just be here until I know something's going to work. But anyways, no, I just feel like the Lord, I want to be a blessing. I want to be a help on how to redeem the time this morning. I believe this is what the Lord laid on my heart this week. Two different times in Scripture, we find the expression, redeeming the time. That word redeem means to purchase or to buy up, to store it up, if you will, to purchase it. Probably one of the most valuable things that you can ever give to anybody is your time. One of the most valuable gifts that you can ever give to anybody is your time. When time is given to you by someone, you ought to understand that is a gift. For instance, you teach a Sunday school class. That takes time. That takes time, that takes effort, that takes sacrifice on the part of a Sunday school teacher. And if you sit under a teacher or a preacher or something, you ought to understand the gift of time, the gift of time or the gift of love by them giving you your their time, if you will. What I'm saying, time is a valuable gift. We should never be so hurried, okay? Sometimes they think, we hear this statement, I don't have time. But we ought to understand, and some things, the Lord just kind of threw some things in perspective this week with a different kind of week that I had and so forth, and the funeral and different things. But we should never be so hurried in the time that we spend with others. It seems like as you get older, and I guess, boy, I'm saying this, I'm 39 years old, that as you get older, you start to reminisce a little bit more, don't you? I know I do. As I went up to Maine the other day, you know, and seeing different parts of Maine and so forth, and seeing different people that I hadn't seen in a while, you know, you just kind of start thinking back a little bit, don't you? I know I do. Maybe you do in certain instances. I think anyways. I think we all do. I start reminiscing of certain memories that I had with that aunt or that uncle. Of course, I had with my grandfather that passed away a week ago. I started reminiscing, spent some time with my mom and dad, and started reminiscing of the memories that I had with my mom and dad, that I have with my mom and dad. My mom and dad, they just built a new house. They have many acres on the farm there, and they're actually selling the old farmhouse. Not yet, but they're going to get it prepped up and selling, because he built a new house on top of the hill that overlooks the mountains there in Maine. Beautiful, beautiful spot. And I couldn't help but find my way. You know, I love their new little house, but all the memories and the time spent that I had growing up was in the old house. And, you know, I'll admit, it's probably a little bit bittersweet, and I understand why, you know, you got a downgrade, and my parents don't need the big house, the big farmhouse. But as a son who grew up in the house, it's kind of bittersweet. But a lot of memories were spent there. And I couldn't help but find myself kind of drawing myself away from the new house. And my dad, he's a builder. And he said this will be the last project, the last house I ever built. He built the old farmhouse. He built the barn. He built the stable. He built the garage that's down at the farm. Now he, also with all the land that he has, all the wood, it's just kind of amazing, all the wood that came into building, that went into the building, the house, the new house, came from off the farm. It's just there's something about it. But every single lumber, every single piece of wood that actually went into the house, literally, came from that farm, from the trees of that farm, and the work that I know that they put in the last few years. But I found myself drawing away from the new place that they built, beautiful place, by the way, walking around the old place, walking through room to room, walking out into the barn that I spent many, many hours milking the cows and doing the chores, walking through every building and even sneaking up on a tractor, because I love driving big tractors. But I found myself reminiscing and how precious the time has been. I was thinking of the time spent with some tears in my eyes and different things, thinking of my grandpa, thinking of my family, thinking of the loved ones. We should never be so hurried. Sometimes when we get to spend time with a loved one you haven't seen in a while, we ought not be so hurried. Well, I'm only here for a little while, but I got to move. You know what? Take time. And again, we're talking about redeeming the time, but take time. Understand that life is not obviously forever. That's a no-brainer. I know that. But just take time with that family member. Take time. If you got your grandpa and grandma still around, boy, gotta take time to call them if they're distant away, a distant state. Gotta take time to spend time with them. Should never squander the time that we have with the people that we love the most. Make time for them. Time, obviously, is what builds precious memories. All of us, if you are standing where I stand this morning, and again, I'm going to be very practical this morning, but if you stood where I am standing this morning, you could talk about precious memories too. I'm talking about with your family. I'm talking about with your spouse. I'm talking about your grandparents or your family members. Time is the most precious gift that you can give to people. Time is a precious gift you can give to your spouse. You know, it will go a long ways into building a happy marriage if you'd spend time with each other as your spouse. You could have a very happy marriage. I'm telling you, you know what? Beyond any other struggles and so forth, if you would just spend time listening and talking to your spouse. A lot of spats could be settled if we would take time and listen. Often, you know, a lot of reasons why marriages struggle is a lack of communication and a lack of spending time and listening to the situation. But you know what? Time is that precious gift you can spend with your spouse. You may not have, you know, some in this room maybe have experienced it, and you're living alone now because your spouse has passed away. And no doubt you're thinking of that, of the times and the precious memories that you had with your spouse. They will not live forever. Listen to them. Go on a date. Take the time, well-deserved time with your spouse. Take time with your children. We're going to talk a little bit more elaborate about some of these areas as we go. Listen to them as well. Don't push your children away if they come to you, school problem, different problems like that. Don't go ahead and push it. Well, I'll deal with it later and so forth. No, take time and listen to your children. Spend time with them. Again, a lot will go into building a great relationship with your child if you take time and listen to your child. You know, you say, well, I'm just too busy. No, then you're too busy. If you're too busy to spend time with your spouse, if you're too busy to spend time with your children or the people that are important to you, you know what? You're too busy. Spend time with your parents. You still have mama and daddy around. You spend time with your parents' children. You live at home. You still have mom and dad. You spend time with mom and dad. You won't have them forever either, and don't push them away. Spend time with other family. Make time for them. Spend time in the church family. Spend time in the church. You know, the greatest place to form good, solid friendships is the church, the local Bible-believing Baptist church. Best friendships should be made here. I'm not saying that you don't have acquaintances out there, but your good friends ought to be made in the church house. Hey, what I'm saying this morning, redeem the time. Buy up the time. Make memories now with your loved ones before it's too late. Don't let petty things cause division between you and your loved ones. Don't let petty things go ahead and cause division in precious memories. How often, I've spoken about it last week, talking on Father's Day a little bit. Sometimes we'll let the littlest of all things cause a division, therefore keeping us from building some precious memories with that loved one. Hey, don't let little things, don't let petty things and prevent big things from getting in the way of spending time with your loved ones. We fight too often about things in our relationships that won't matter 5 minutes after the rapture. When you think about it, we'll fight about stuff that really will not matter. I think I spoke recently about a funeral of a mom. You know, her daughter, years ago, she backed into her daughter's new car. Now think about this for a minute. It was not a total mess. It was just a dent in her brand new car. And for years, that daughter and that mom never read it, went ahead and took care of that, and mom went to the grave that way. And at the funeral, this daughter would say, Mama, 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 I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. And a family member said, why did you behave that way? Because she went ahead and told him what happened, and it was so petty. It was so petty. Hey, I mentioned, you know, this week's funeral, if you will, revealed to me how fast time flies by. You know, it's sad that oftentimes a funeral is a place where it becomes a family reunion, doesn't it? You start seeing people that you haven't seen in years. And, you know, I'll admit, when I was going through, I was there Tuesday night for the wake, and Wednesday did the funeral, I saw people I hadn't seen in years, and I started feeling pretty old. Talking about some of the cousins and family members that were this age. I mean, you know, how fast time flies. Got to thinking this week as I spent time with my family I had not seen in months or years, how precious time was and the wonderful memories that we had. I thank God for the time redeemed, that I purchased, if you will, through the years. I thank God for the precious memories that I have spent in building through the years. You know, I made this statement at the funeral. You know, death can go ahead and take your loved one, but death can never take away the precious memories that you had with them. You know, death can go ahead, and we've all experienced death in the family of some sort, whether it be mom, dad, or whoever. But you know what? Death does not have to go ahead and diminish the precious memories that you had with them this side of heaven. We need to purchase time. We need to redeem the time before it's too late. I want us to think about our time this morning. How does one redeem the time? So how does one redeem the time? That's my question this morning. Are there things that we do that are not necessary? Are there things that we use in our time that is not necessary? You know, a lot of things that we do, that we use our time, you know, a lot of it's a matter of balance. You know how we kind of get mixed up in the Christian life is, and we start pushing God away. When we start spending more time with things and other things, and weights, if you will, things that aren't really bad, but when we start spending more time with that type of stuff than we do the Lord, then you know what? Our time is out of whack. Something's not right. And a lot of the Christian life is really, it boils right down to balance. Do we manage our time properly? I've read many, many books on time management. And I don't have it down, and I've received some help, if you will, from these books, if you will. But, you know, the most valuable information, the most valuable motivations and methods for time management right here in the Bible. And so we're going to talk about how do we redeem the time. How do I redeem the time? Number one, I'm going to give you several thoughts. Again, very practical this morning. But how do I redeem the time? Number one, realize what time it is. Realize what time it is. You know, the Bible says in Romans 13:11, and that knowing the time, that now it is high time to wake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than we believe. You know, time's going by. Obviously, that's a no-brainer. Time is going by. It's going by very quickly. We don't have, we will never live the last minute that we live. We will never live again yesterday. We will never live again last week. We will never live again last month. We will never again live last year. Everything past is gone. You know, and by the way, how often we'll go ahead and we'll waste time on mistakes that we made in the past. And the truth of the matter is you can't do anything about it, but you can do something about what's happening now. You can do something about that family situation now. You can do something maybe about that job situation now. Okay, maybe you did blow it some in the past. Maybe some words were said. Maybe there are some things that happened. But the truth of the matter is you maybe can't do anything about then, but you can control now on forward. Hey, you know what? You can never relive yesterday. And knowing the time that now is a high time to wake out of sleep. You know, now is the time that we ought to be busy. Now is the time that we ought to be kind of wake up, if you will, and realize that life is not forever. We're not going to live this side of heaven forever. You know, right now, you know, is a good time to be saved if you're not saved. You know, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 6:2, for he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is a day of salvation. The Bible also says in James 4:14, whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. For what is your life, the Bible says? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. It just goes just like that. Time flies by. The Bible teaches us that we don't know how much time we have. We're not guaranteed tomorrow. We're not guaranteed another year. There's an old saying, we ought to not put off today till tomorrow what we can and ought to be done today. Let me say that again. We ought not put off till tomorrow what ought to be and can be done today. You know, the Bible says, boy, if you're not saved this morning, the Bible says today is the day of salvation. Boy, I wouldn't put it off. Life is but a vapor. We don't know whether we have another day. Don't think, well, I'll get saved later on. I'll get saved tomorrow. I'm reminded of this very pungent illustration from a pastor who preached at Howells Anderson College Chapel. He started a church, and he was witnessing to a man by the name of Jim. And Jim was a very well-to-do man. He was a single guy, so he had a little bit of money about him. He had some means about him and so forth. And this new pastor who went into town, knocked on doors, met this fellow by the name of Jim, and talked to this man, if you will. And he went ahead and started talking back and forth, saying that we started a church down here, down the street, so forth. Started witnessing to Jim, and Jim was very cordial. Jim was a very nice guy. Jim ushered the pastor in. They sat down on the across from each other at the kitchen table and so forth. I remember this pastor giving this illustration just so clearly, and he had the plan of salvation out there. He planted the seed of the Word of God. He used the Word of God, and the Word of God was planted deep in this Jim's heart. And the pastor said, "Would you like to ask Jesus to come to your heart right now?" You know, Jim said, "No. Not right now." He says, "You know, preacher," this is exactly what this preacher said, "You know, preacher, I believe what you said. I saw it in the Word of God. I believe in Jesus. There is a Jesus. I believe there is a God. I believe in that book right now, but I'm not ready." He says, "You know," and by the way, Jim had a very modest looking house. He says, you look around you. He had the nicest furniture. He had the wall-to-wall carpet. He had a hot tub. He had a pool out back. He had some toys like three-wheelers and four-wheelers and four-wheelers, if you will. Three-wheelers, they're a thing of the past. He had some toys, if you will. He had some things that men wanted. By the way, the toys aren't bad. But again, if they take you away from Christ, from what God wants you to be, then you might have to look at things in a different perspective. But the truth of the matter is, Jim says, "Listen, I am not ready to be saved right now. I believe that, but you know what? I want to live this lavish lifestyle. I want to live for now. You see what I got? You know what? This is mine. This is what I got." He was very, very adamant about that, and you know, just broke this preacher's heart. But he says, "Now, Jim, okay, I can't make you be saved." But he says, "Could I follow up on you?" He says, "Jim says, sure, anytime." And that pastor, every single week, about the same time, would knock on that door. "Hey, Jim, are you ready to be saved?" "No, sir. No, no. Hey, you see what I got? No, no, no. Boy, you know what? Man, I got a promotion." He'd say, "Well, I got a promotion in my job. This is happening." You know, a lot of earthly good things were happening to Jim. But he says, "I'm not ready." And the pastor, week after week after week, would go by. Pastor was sitting in his office, and the phone rang, and he picked it up, and it was another voice on the other end said, "Are you Pastor so-and-so?" And he says, "Yes, I am." And, "Well, there's a fellow by the name of Jim here. This is the local hospital. He just wrapped himself around a telephone pole. And we saw your card in his wallet, and we didn't know who else to call. Jim had no family nearby, so we had to call you." The pastor went ahead because, see, through them weeks and months, he developed a love for Jim. He got to know Jim. He'd sip coffee with him, trying to win him to the Lord, different things. The pastor went ahead and hung up and sat there at his desk, and he literally put his hands in his face, and he went ahead and just sobbed because he did not know whether Jim ever accepted Christ. You see, today's the day of salvation. You know what? You ought not put that off. The biggest and the best decision you can make, if you're here today, you don't know Jesus as Savior, you ought to make that decision now. As the Bible says, I read it a while ago, in the last part of 2 Corinthians 2, "Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." Boy, if you've not got that settled, you ought to get that settled. It'll be too late to get saved at the judgment seat. You know, we can go ahead and put it off and say, "Well, I don't have time right now. I got this. Well, I'm living the high life right now. I don't want to do this right now." Not right now. Not right now. The truth of the matter is, we do not know whether we have tomorrow. How often you read the newspaper? A car accident, one killed. Whoever gets in that accident, and I did not plan on getting in that car and going into eternity that day. How often we hear about the murder. They didn't get up and plan on being murdered that day. How often, you know, how often I always go back because of my love for my country. I always go back to September 11th. All them thousands of people, they didn't plan on falling down under a bunch of rubble of a building and terrorist attacking that day. And you know what? It was a beautiful, clear day on that September morn. A beautiful day. And they thought, you know, they had their plans. They looked forward to going home just like you do each and every day from work, going home, spending time with your family, spending time with your kids, having some fun time and different things. But how many hundreds of people went into eternity that day? Today is the day of salvation. What time is it? It's time to be saved. It's too late at the judgment seat. We're all going to face Jesus one day, and you may go, but Jesus, listen, look at me. Jesus, I did this. I did this. I did this. I went to church on Christmas. I went to church on Easter. I went to church a couple times a year. I helped the poor. I did all that. That's fine. And the Bible says, for by grace I am saved through faith. That I know not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works. You cannot work yourself to heaven. You can only do it. You can only get to heaven only through the precious blood of Jesus Christ, the finished work at Calvary. Hey, you know what? You wait till the judgment seat. Hey, I'll go ahead and get saved later on. You are not guaranteed later on. What time is it? It's time to be saved. If name is not written in the book of life at that judgment seat, the response from Jesus, as it says in Luke chapter 13, 27, depart from me, you workers of iniquity, for I never knew you. You know, the old hymns, just as I am and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot, to thee whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Boy, you know what? What time is it? It's time to be saved. It's time to redeem the time and be saved this morning. All you need to do is realize you're a sinner. You realize that Jesus paid the price of your sin, and all you have to do is simply open your heart and call upon him, and he'll save you. At the funeral, I told you of the one that was saved. It was really the most unlikely person that got saved that day. The most unlikely person that got saved. And yet he raised his hand. And he asked Christ into his heart. What time is it? It's time to be saved. Hey, what time is it? It's time to serve the Lord. Time given to God. You know what time given to God? You know what you're saying to God right now by spending time in his house? God, I love you. You know, you spent time preparing for a class this week. You know what you're saying to God? God, I love you. You spent time teaching a class this morning. You know what you're saying to God? God, I love you. You spend time having devotions this week. You know what you're saying? God, I love you. You spend time knocking on doors this week for the cause of Christ, going out soul winning. What you're saying? I love you, God. Hey, you know what? It's time to serve the Lord. Joshua 24, 15, the Bible says, Joshua said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. It was not just his decision, but he made a decision for his household and his family. He says, we will serve the Lord. He was going to serve the Lord as a family. That means Joshua went to church as a family. It's a good idea to go to church as a family. You ought not be a kind of parent just to drop off your kids and at church and you don't go. Well, you ought to be in church with your family. Pray as a family. Read the Bible as a family. Be involved in the church as a family. You know, I've been in church as long as I can remember. It's just been a few years, by the way. But I've been in church for a long time. I've been in church since I was a nursery. I'm in nursery. Mom and Dad took us to church. You know, I have fond memories of my mom and Dad taking time. My dad being a farmer, getting chores done in time to eat breakfast and to go ahead and take us to church every Sunday morning. They served in church. My dad was a key man in building and maintenance. My mom was a church pianist and still is a church pianist. They taught me to serve. And you know what? Now I'm doing the same thing with my family. I thank God for the time that my parents invested in me so that I can do the same with my own children. I thank God for that. Even before pastoring in church with my family, I was in church with my family. 2 days, not everybody knows this, but my oldest daughter, Courtney, she was a home birth. We had a midwife on the old farmhouse. It's a special room. You know, again, that old farmhouse, very special. But the biggest room at the old farmhouse in Maine, my daughter Courtney was born, had a midwife. That's just what we could afford at the time. But it worked, and praise the Lord, she's healthy. You know what? 2 days later, my wife was healthy, and she and Courtney was in church with us. You know what? Even before pastoring, I was in church. Even before pastoring, I taught a Sunday school class. I captained a bus route. I was out soul winning on Saturday. Hey, what can you do? You know what? What time is it? What time is it? What time is it? I realize what time it is. It's time to get saved, and it's also time to serve the Lord. What can you do to serve the Lord? What can you volunteer to do for the Lord? Isn't it time? Isn't it time, my friend, to go ahead and serve the Lord? Dad, would you lead your family in a family altar time? Can someone be available to teach a class when one is ready to start? Can one drive a bus on Sunday? Can one volunteer to clean the church? Can you be counted on to be in your place every Sunday when the church doors are open? Can you be in your place on a Wednesday evening for prayer time? Can one be faithful enough to fulfill an important duty in the church? Can one usher, if you will? Can one take a skill and talent that, by the way, God gave you? and use it for him. And realize what time it is. Joshua said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Joshua, by the way, did not just make the decision for himself. He says, we will serve the Lord. We're going to be in church. From a knee-high to a grasshopper, I'm going to teach my kids the Word of God. I'm going to get them in church. I want to be serving in the church so that my kids see it, and they know that it's the right thing to do as they get older. You know, it blesses my heart to see young people serving in the church. Blesses my heart to see young people riding a bus and being a worker on a bus. Blesses my heart to go ahead and see young people working in a junior church. But you know what? Let me just stop and say this. It kind of is wacky when we see more young people serving the Lord than we do the leadership, the ones that ought to be the leaders. It really is. You see, as a parent, as a godly parent, as one that is responsible for my household, you know what? I ought to be leading in such a way, in serving in such a way that my kids see it, and they see the joy that I have in serving, and they say, you know what? I may not be a preacher, I may not do this or do that, but you know what? I know my daddy, my mama, they were always faithful in their place. They were serving the Lord by being in their place every Sunday, in their pew every Sunday. They were faithful by teaching in class, or whatever the case may be. They were faithful by handing out tracts. They were faithful by soul winning. They were in their place. The doors were open. They're always in their place. Therefore, they see the joy that you have in serving God. And you know what? You know what that shows them as a young mind, a young heart? They see the joy that you have, saying, you know what? If it's right for them, as they get older, it's right for me too. And you know what? As they do, you know what? By the way, this is how we're going to reach the next generation. You know what? Producing one another, okay? And as they, okay, they're here. Now I'm the grandfather. I'm about ready to breathe my last breath, if you will, and so forth. But because they saw the joy and my faithfulness and so forth, they're here. They're serving God in the church. Now they've got little babies, little children, and so forth. And they see the joy of serving God and soul winning and all this other stuff, being in their place, faithful to church, and the time spent, and they're teaching their kids in the home to serve the Lord, to pray, to walk with God, and so forth. And they're growing up. Hey, you know what? Hey, if we're going to salvage America, that's what it's going to take, is consistency on the leadership. That's what it's going to take in the Christian life. Hey, moms and dads, I urge you this morning, boy, you have a family altar. You spend time with your kids. You pray. You pray for your children. You walk with God. You get busy serving in the Lord. Let them see the joy of you serving God. And you know what? A lot of times it carries over. Hey, number two, how to redeem the time. How to redeem the time. Recognize the brevity of life. Boy, life is short, isn't it? Seems like yesterday, talking about Courtney a few minutes ago, it seems like yesterday I was just holding her as a little baby. Okay, and by the way, you've got all the same scenarios that I do. It seems like yesterday you were just holding your child as a baby too, and now they're growing up, now they're teenagers or whatever, and how often I hear Courtney saying, hey, you know what, Dad, next year, you know what, I'm going off to Bible college. Wow, okay, yeah. You know, time sure does fly. How do you redeem time? Boy, you need to recognize the brevity of life. You know, the Bible says in Psalm 90, verse 10, the days of our years are 80, and if by reason of strength and they be 80, yet it is their strength, labor, and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. The Bible also says in the same chapter, Psalm 90, 12, so teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. You know, basically, we have 70 years, give or take. That's it. That's the time that we have to obviously get saved, come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, and to go ahead and serve the Lord and do what we're going to do here on earth. If God blesses us with 80, praise the Lord. I keep on praying. You know, I was thinking again, and I know I'm being a little personal this morning, but I'm praying that's a help to you. But, you know, there's a lot of longevity on my dad's side. You know, I mean, my grandfather was 89. He has a sister still alive at 92. He has another brother that's alive at 85, 86 years old. Another sister that's alive at 80. There's a lot of longevity, and I keep on saying, boy, I hope I got them genes. Boy, I like to think, man, at 80, 90 years old, and I've heard the preachers of the past get up, 80, 90 years old, Dr. Lee Robertson, Dr. Tom Malone, they were still preaching at 90 years old. Man, I like to think that could happen to me. But boy, time flies. We basically have 70 years to get what needs to be done. You know, time goes by. Boy, we ought not be time wasters. We ought to make use of our time wisely. We ought to be productive in all we do. Our Christian life ought to be productive. We ought to be producing other people. The Bible teaches in John 15 that we ought to be bearing fruit and more fruit and much fruit. There's different stages there, but you ought to be producing. And how do you produce? Telling people about Jesus. You know, soul winning's all through the Bible. Go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Boy, we ought to have our part. It's not specific on who goes. It tells us we all need to go. We all need to be a part in producing other Christians, if you will. Don't waste time. Don't be a waste time waster. You know, you say, well, you don't understand. You know, I wasted some years and so forth. Okay, if you got past that and you're saved, it's all under the blood, you want to move on. Sometimes we'll go ahead and we'll think of all the stuff that we did in the past, and we're wasting our time thinking of all the bad things we did, but we got saved along the way. It's under the blood. Now, you know what? You can't do anything about that, so let's move on. Let's keep going forward. Keep serving God. Use your time wisely for the Lord now. You know, it's not how you start in the Christian life. Not many people will remember how you all started. You know, people will remember how you finish. You know why? Because it's recent. You know, people will remember how you finish. People remember whether, you know, through the years you've been faithful to the Word of God, you've been faithful to walking with God and so forth. People remember when it comes, so to speak, your dying day, and you're laying there, and there is a funeral for you. People will remember that. People remember if you stuck with it. People will remember if you did not stick with it. Hey, let's not wait to obey the Lord. If God lays something on your heart to do something, do it. He wants you to serve. You know, life is short. Our days are numbered. Hey, you know, God can call us home at any time. And the truth of the matter is, it may be today. It may be that we're going to be moving out today to go to heaven. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. That's a promise by God. Right now, He's creating a home. If you're saved this morning, He's creating a home. And if you're not saved this morning, boy, today's the day of salvation. How do we redeem the time? Number three, I'll move quickly. Reach out and take today's opportunities. Don't let opportunities pass by. I used to teach soul winners as I was teaching soul winners through the years. I had soul winning class and bus workers and different things like that. You know what? When you're working your bus route and so forth, you're going down a street and you hear all the noise. There are certain homes that are easier to visit than others. And the truth of the matter is, you know what? We look at a home, it just doesn't look right. It doesn't feel right. It looks like there's kind of a dark cloud there and so forth. And basically, that's the devil kind of telling you, hey, you know what, don't go there. You hear the loud music, you hear the yelling and screaming. Your flesh says, you don't really want to go there. But the truth of the matter is, if you go by, there's a missed opportunity right there. You know, they're the ones that need what you have. And you know what? Reach out and take today's opportunities. Maybe you have an opportunity to witness somebody at work on break time and so forth. How often I've seen people saved on break at work and so forth. The Holy Spirit prompted you. Hey, go tell them about Jesus. He gives you an opportunity. Hey, reach out and take today's opportunity. Reach out to these opportunities. The Bible says in Galatians 6:10, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Boy, you know, that's a good verse. You know, number one, it talks about we have therefore opportunity. But you know what? We need to be good to one another. But we ought to take the opportunities of being helpful to one another. We ought to take the opportunities of not using our tongue against one another. We ought to take the opportunities because we are the household of faith. We are the church. We ought to watch out for each other. We ought not be jabbing each other with our tongue. We ought to take every opportunity to speak in love about our Christian brethren. We ought to take opportunity to give us, God's given us to help one another, to lend a hand, if you will. If you know of someone in the church that needs a lawn mowed because they don't have time they're ill or different things. Hey, what I'm trying to say, take them opportunities that are given to you today. Take the opportunity to lend a helping hand. Take the opportunity to pray for one another. Take an opportunity to pray to witness everywhere you go. Take an opportunity now to serve the Lord. Take opportunities God's given you today because they may never be available again. You know, that person that God prompted, Holy Spirit prompted you to go witness to, and no. By the way, I've been there. I've been there. The very one that I should have gone ahead and witnessed to, and I didn't because of time. I don't have time right now. And the truth of the matter is, it may be that I was going to be the only voice of the Lord given to them. That's a missed opportunity. I've been there. We've all been there, I'm sure. Holy Spirit prompts you to witness to someone, do it. You may never have that chance again. God gives us opportunities. Reach out and take the opportunities. You know, if your children are in the home, right now is an opportunity, Mama and Daddy, to teach them. If they're in the home, you ought to make time now to spend precious memories. Don't put off spending time with them. Don't be distant with your family. Lead them by example so they may grow up and do right. You know, let me just say this. Unfortunately, probably happens a lot today in funerals, in families. But I know of some strife between family members at the funeral. Not to get too personal. You know, instead of greeting one another, they just walk by. You know, that should not be. Listen, that should not be. Parent, take the opportunity to teach your, get back, you know, lead your children by example so that they may grow up and do right. We talked a little bit about that. Take the opportunity to teach your children when home, when they're home. This is not, you know what? Don't leave the responsibility of teaching your children to the school system or to the world or to the television or to Hollywood. Don't you do that. By the way, it will not be right teaching. You take time, Mama and Daddy, to teach them from the Word of God. You take time and teach them. Teach them right from wrong. Teach them to be pure. No immoral acts before marriage. Teach them that's not the right way to live according to God's word. That's not the right way. Teach them to have a happy marriage by you having a happy marriage. By communication, by loving one another, by speaking kindly to your husband or to your wife. Teach them how to work, 40 hours work for 40 hours pay. They see you get up in the morning, irregardless of how you feel, but you go to work anyways. Teach them. You walk in and not crawl into work, or you walk in instead of calling in. You crawl into work, if you will. You get there one way or the other. Boy, it's amazing some of the reasons why we won't go to work. It's amazing the certain situations that will come up that will keep us from going to work. Boy, you just walk in. You be an example of godly character as far as your work ethic. Our work ethic will be passed on, by the way. You know, if there's one of the traits that I could talk about my grandpa, and I saw it go to right to my dad and his brothers and sisters, right down to my dad's children, is my grandpa was not afraid to work. You know what? It was 2001, 8 years ago, that he retired. Think about that. He was 89 when he died. He worked up into his 80s. Hey, you know what? There's a strong work ethic. Teach your children how to handle money. This is the opportunity now. Teach them how to treat people. Teach them how to speak kindly of others by you speaking kindly of others. You know, you say things about people, you know what? They're going to go ahead and hear it and do the same thing. Teach them how to talk to people. Teach them manners. Teach them the Bible. You know, the Bible says, I'm going to turn to a passage here in Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6, the Bible says in verses 5 and 6. And these words, it's talking about the Bible now, the Bible that they had at this time. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them. This is talking about parents instructing and teaching their children. Thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, when thou risest up. Hey, you know what? That's consistent. That's talking about being consistent. When they get up in the morning, you be consistent in your walk, and you teach them the Word of God. You teach them. Let the Word of God live through you. You teach them. You verbally teach them. When they're sitting in your house, boy, when you're sitting down at the table for a meal, you know what? You're teaching them. Pray. Pray for your meal. Thank God for that meal. When thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, when thou risest up. That's talking about consistent Bible teaching, instructing your children. What I'm saying, take the opportunity to teach your kids now because you won't have a later time to do it. And number next, real quick, how to redeem the time when remember God while you're young. People ask me, you know, the Bible says in Ecclesiastes 12:1, remember now thy creator in the days of thy youth. While the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. You know, people ask me, why do we go through so much work in reaching the young people through bus ministry, through teen activities, through Patch Club, through other different things and so forth, because you know what? If I can capture, you know, it's easier to capture a young heart than it is to one that's lived a little while. It's a whole lot easier to capture these young people around here through the bus ministry and win them to Christ than it is for them to be living in the world for a while and the devil's had their shot. It's a whole lot easier. You know what? Remember, hey teenager in here this morning, hey child this morning, you remember God when you're young. Teach them when they're young, if you will, moms and dads. You know what? They're more moldable. They will listen when they're young. They're more pliable. They're more teachable. The devil knows that the longer one waits to get saved or even serve God, he can harden that heart to a point that they'll never get saved. Or even if they did get saved, they never will go ahead and absorb the truth of the Word of God enough to go ahead and be a producer. The devil knows that time that goes by and trying to reach young people, boy, he'd much prefer us trying to win the older folks who are not saved simply because they've lived a little while and the world has had a chance to harden their heart. Okay, don't put off teaching your kids. Young people, you serve God now before the years take you. Don't you put off serving God. Don't push away the instruction of a wise man, young person. Don't push away the preacher who preaches and gives his heart to you and gives you what you need, the preaching of the Word of God. Don't push away a godly mom and dad who teaches you and trains you and has rules. And once in a while, they may have to say no. And if mom and daddy says no, there's a reason for it, young person. If they say no, then you go ahead and you follow that word no and say, okay, I will not do it. You obey. Remember God now, young person. Give God your time. You walk with him. You walk in his ways. Dedicate yourself to whatever God wants you to do. Remember now the days of thy creator and the days of thy youth, young person. You know, young Samuel, you know what he said? Speak now. Young Samuel, just a young man, speak now for thy servant heareth. You know, a young Samuel was open to what God wanted for him. Determine now to live holy and useful to God, young person. Don't allow your peers to pull you from the Bible or prayer or holy living. Don't put into the ears things that ought not be there, like the junk music that promotes sex outside of marriage and drugs and living how you want to live and all that Hollywood lifestyle and so forth. Don't you go ahead and put it in there, because listen to me, you allow that kind of preaching, so to speak, in your ears, you will eventually follow suit with it. Remember now the Creator in the days of thy youth. You know, I'm reminded of a young Daniel. Daniel chapter 8, 1 verse 8. I'm not going to turn to it. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with eating the king's meat, if you remember that. You know what? And as a result, because he went ahead and he said, listen, king, I don't eat meat. I don't go ahead. I can't touch that. It's not right for me. It's not healthy for me. It's not right and so forth. I cannot go ahead and break God's law and so forth. And as a result, they went ahead and fed him vegetables. And the Bible teaches at the end of that chapter that he was 10 times better. His countenance was fair. His countenance was fair. He was 10 times better. He looked more healthy than the ones that did go ahead and eat the king's meat. Hey, you know what? Daniel purposed in his heart as a young man, I'm going to do right. When you're young, you go ahead and you hold up Christ and you lift him up. How to redeem the time, refuse extra weights in your life. I'm going to probably finish this later, I think. Let me just get another point out. How to refuse extra weights in your life. You know, the Bible says in Hebrews 12:1, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight. And the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. You know, weights are not necessarily bad. Weights are them things that if we allow them to dominate our life, then they do the Lord. That's when it becomes bad. That's when it becomes sin. Okay, a weight, okay, there's nothing wrong with sports. But if we go ahead and we love sports more than we do God, then there's a problem. You understand the principle. That's when it becomes a weight. That's when it kind of bogs you down from really running a race effectively for the Lord. It bogs you down from being what God wants you to be in this race of life. We all have our own race to run. The truth of the matter, we've got to be careful of certain weights. Be careful of the things that rob your time. TV is not necessarily bad, but if you're not careful, it can steal precious time from the Lord and with your family and the people that matter. Computers are not necessarily bad, but surfing one place to another, you know what? You say, well, I'm only going to spend 20 minutes surfing for something. Boy, that 20 minutes, how easy it can be to be an hour later. Hey, listen to me. Listen, we've got to be very careful of the things that thieve our time. These things are not necessarily bad, but if not balanced, it can rob you of the precious time from the most important things, like your Bible reading, like your prayer time, like your church time. Hey, have balance in your life. Be careful of the things that rob your thoughts. Be careful of them things that steal your thoughts, if you will. Worry can steal your thoughts. How often? Worry. We'll worry about our job. We'll worry about not enough money to go ahead and make ends meet. We'll worry about the health of our family. We'll worry about things. You know, let me just stop and say, you know one cure for worry? You start praying right now when you're healthy for your health. You start praying right now when you have a little bit of money in the bank for God to provide your needs. It's so easy when we have everything, we don't necessarily pray for it, do we? But boy, once we don't have enough money, once we don't have the health, once we have, all of a sudden we get on our knees and we start praying, oh God, give me the health, give me the health. Oh God, I don't know what's going to happen. I'm not feeling very good. Or my family situation, or this, you know, we start worrying about things and so forth. You know what? It'd be good for us to be praying for our family now when things are healthy, when they're healthy. It'd be praying. Be good to start praying for your job now when you have the job and so forth and so on. Hey, you know what? Worry can go ahead and steal you from your thought, can rob your thoughts. Worry can rob your health, your family. Family time, you keep your thoughts on what is important, which is the Lord. Mischief, getting into trouble. We ought not be thinking about how we can get into trouble. That might deal with a lot of young people on how we can disobey or bend the rules and so forth. Thoughts of lust ought not enter our mind. It steals your thoughts and precious thoughts and clean thoughts, things that you lust for that are not yours. Immoral things can steal your time. Lustful thoughts, that ought not rob your time. How to redeem the time, run with patience. The Bible also says in Hebrews 12:1, we know the verse, I read it a while ago, let us run with patience in the race that is set before us. Boy, that's a tough trait, patience. You know, but we have a race to run. I have my own race to run, you have your own race to run. And you know what, in this race of life, problems do arise. Death does come. Health becomes an issue. Money can become an issue. Patience is not very easy for us. You know, we want to be healthy now. We want to have money now. We need this job now that provides my needs. We need my family situation to get better now. We want things now. We get impatient, which then brings discouragement. It distracts us. It keeps us from having the faith that we ought to have in God. You know what? When you worry and when you're impatient, you know what? It's showing that you're not putting all your faith in God. It starts discouraging you. It hinders your faith in the Lord and it takes your eyes off the Lord. Hey, don't waste your time being impatient. Cast all your care upon Him, for He careth for you, the Bible says in 1 Peter 5:7. Hey, listen, that was my last thought. I got through it, but I wanted to give you a little bit of my heart this morning. So often we will really waste our times with some things that aren't necessary. Our time sometimes can get robbed by things that from the important thing. I'm talking about we got to be careful of our time not being robbed from our family, from our spouse, from our Lord. I wonder, maybe today in this very simple message, I wonder if you looked at your time, are you redeeming it? I mean, are you using your time wisely? Are you buying it up? Are you making precious memories now with your family? Are you spending time with the Lord like you should? Your children want to spend time with you. Do you say, I'm too busy, not now? Hey, what I'm trying to say, redeem the time. Redeem the time. You might need to go ahead and push off some things to make time necessary for the important things in life. If you say, well, I don't have time to read my Bible, then you're too busy. I don't know how a Christian can go ahead and live and be successful. By the way, the Bible teaches that you cannot live and be successful and have the strength to resist the devil so that he can flee from you if you don't spend precious time in the Word of God that He's preserved for you. Hey, listen, spend time with your family. Make proper use of your time. Hey, what time is it? It's time to be saved. Maybe here today, and maybe you've heard sermons like this, maybe you've heard the plan of salvation 100 times, but you've been putting off the Savior. You've been putting off the day of salvation. And I'm not trying to scare you, but life is but a vapor. We're not guaranteed another day. And I plead with you and I urge you, if you need to be saved this morning, won't you make today the day of salvation? Maybe there's other issues with your time that you need to deal with this morning. I don't know. Maybe it's been a while that you really spent time with your wife or your husband. I've been a little bit too busy. I got this going on. Boy, it'd be good to go ahead and spend an hour or two or have a date night a week. That's precious time, by the way. People laugh when I say I'm taking my wife out on a date. I don't know why. Well, that's something that you do when you're young. No. I still date my wife. I'm still on my honeymoon, man. Amen. You know, precious time. Enjoy the time I have with my kids. I enjoy our meal times. You know, and I'm always disappointed if I don't get there on time. Sometimes, you know what? Let me tell you something. When I was reading some of these scriptures and just kind of viewing some things this week, boy, kind of, the Lord just kind of slapped me right across the head a little bit because I needed it. Maybe the sermon was primarily for me. I don't know. But I prepared this late yesterday. Normally, again, I had another sermon. And you know what? I don't think it works, so I'm going to go back and start over. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. We can laugh, amen? But the truth of the matter is, our time ought to be precious. The most valuable gift that you can give to somebody is your time. Why, if you know the most valuable gift that you can give to your husband is your time. Husband, the most valuable gift you can give to your wife is your time. Parents, the most valuable gift you can give to your children is your time. Let me say this, you know, God gave up so much for you. What are you willing to give up for Him? Are you willing to take a few minutes of your time each and every day, Christian, and make sure that you spend some time with the Lord? Are you willing to do that? Precious time. I'm talking about 15 minutes or whatever time. Do you have that time set aside where there's no cell phones, there's no TV, it's just you and God? By the way, every successful Christian can be marked by their walk with the Lord. The ones that through the tough times, through the heartaches, through the valleys, the ones that go ahead and make it through to the mountaintops, and they live all through their life, and at the very end of their life, you can remember them and say, you know what? He or she was a good soldier. They may have had tough times, and boy, I've seen some tough times that they went through, but they were always faithful to the Lord. You could always see them reading their Bible. You could always see the Word of God. Their life was reflected by the Lord, by what the Lord taught them. They were always in church. That's how they remembered. You know what? You want to be successful as a Christian. I'm not talking about all the money. I'm not talking about all the things that we can attain. I'm talking about you want to be as successful as a Christian. You gotta get in the Word of God. Brother Scott has a statement. He says, a man who walks with God, a man or woman who walks with God, always reaches his destination. God has a plan for you young people. You know, in a lot of you young people, you've made decisions. Some of you are going to go off to Bible college and preach and different things like that. But God has a plan for you young people, irregardless whatever it is. You will not go ahead and fulfill that plan that God has if you don't stick with God and keep Him number one. Hey, you know what? Adult here today, God has a plan for you too. Say, well, you know, I'm already working. I've already got a career. That's fine. But you know what God's plan for you? You stay steady. You use your time wisely. You keep that precious time with the Lord. You keep that precious time with the people that are most important because time sure does fly. Our Heavenly Father, I just kind of bore my heart this morning. Maybe different Sunday morning message, Lord. I don't know. But the very best I could this morning, I gave what you laid on my heart. Lord, you spoke to me this week. I pray, dear God, that you'd be with this service. I pray, God, that you'd be with hearts this morning. I'm sure there's some heavy hearts this morning. I'm sure there's some discouraged ones this morning. Maybe some impatient ones this morning. Maybe there's some that kind of saw the light that, you know, my time isn't used quite as wisely as it should. I pray, dear God, whatever needs to be done, that it be done, and that their time that you give them would be used more effectively. I pray, God, family times will be started. I pray, God, that personal times with you would be started this morning. I pray, God, that whatever needs to be done, Holy Spirit, that your perfect work is done this morning. I pray, God, that if there's someone here today, they don't know you as Savior. I pray they understand that today is a day of salvation, right now. Pray, God, they take time, not push you away like Jim did years ago to that preacher. I pray, dear God, today they'd understand as a day of salvation. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Maybe here today you don't know Jesus as Savior. No one's looking around but me, and I will not embarrass you in any way, shape, or form. But you say, preacher, that's me. I don't know Jesus as Savior, but today I know I need to deal with it. I know I need to take time. I know I need to take time and ask Christ, come into my heart and save me, forgive me of my sin. I know he's the only way that I'm going to get to heaven is only through Jesus Christ. You say, preacher, that's me. Would you please pray for me? That's me. Would you please, anybody at all? I don't know Jesus as my Savior, but today I'm going to settle it. Anybody at all? Maybe here today, Christian. Maybe here today you say, God spoke to my heart in this area of time, or maybe some other area, I don't know. Preacher, would you please pray for me? That's me. That's me. Several hands. Anybody else? God spoke to me. You know, in that area of time, not been so effective. That's me. Would you please pray for me? Our Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for this time. Thank you for this invitation. Bless now, we ask in Jesus' name. Our heads about. I want to remind you, choir, 5:10 this evening, and our evening service is 6. And Brother Ron, would you come forward and close in prayer for us? Brother Ron will come forward and he'll close in prayer.
All right, let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for today. Thank you for the bus routes, for the Sunday schools, and Lord, thank you for church. Thank you for your word and for the preaching of it. Thank you for our pastor. Lord, please take this message, bless it to our hearts. Help us to remember to be conscious of our time that you give us, Lord. And Lord, help us to reach out to that one that may not have much time left with your word. Lord, help us to reach them. Pray you bless us, watch over us, bring us back safe tonight, and pray for this evening service as well. In Jesus' name, amen.